All right, welcome back to the Drain Plug Podcast. This is the first episode we've done in a long time.
Yes, we took an unintentional break.
We don't have a guest today, so we're trying something a little bit different. You guys need to let us know if you enjoy this or not, but this episode is going to be called Bourbon and Boats. Chris was kind enough to bring in something a little special tonight.
Yep, we are trying the new Booker's, the 2024, this is the 02, 62.3%. For those of y'all who don't know, me and Ryan, that we both are kind of a little bit into bourbon. I say a little bit, a lot.
It's kind of been a recent thing that we've gotten into.
Yeah, it's kind of taken off for me a little bit. I'll put that up there so people can see.
In case people do want to see.
Yeah.
It's not in the pretty little box that's sitting over there, but it still looks good.
But yeah, we're both, I wouldn't say like diehard hunters, but we're both a little bit of collectors. I'm a wild turkey fan.
I'm not.
Ryan is definitely not.
I'm more on the Buffalo Trace
You're
side.
You're a Buffalo Trace nerd.
I am. But I feel bad about that because I feel like I'm in this category of like newbies. You know what I mean?
With everybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody's
But I can't help it. Like, I do just enjoy it, so.
If you are a bourbon hunter.
Cheers, by the way.
Yes, cheers. If you are a bourbon hunter and you're watching this and you want to hear us talk more about it, or if you have a favorite bourbon, we'd love to hear about it. Leave a comment if you're on YouTube. If not, you can go into, I think you can do it on, is it Google Podcast stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, leave us a comment. Let us know what you like. And we can talk more about it in the future. This is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's not as proofy as I thought it was going to be at 124.
I mean, what'd you pay for this?
I actually got it for MSRP.
Okay.
$99, which is around our area here in Georgia, is pretty rare. Most of the time you see it for like 109 plus.
Right. And this is I'm sorry. 7 year, 2 month, 22 days, which makes me really want to try this next to that Booker 7.
You mean the Baker 7? Yeah. So this year, what I've heard is that all of the Booker's releases have been 7 years plus. The last 2 years, they've all been less than 7 years to my knowledge.
Gotcha.
I'm not a huge Booker's fan. This is the first one I've actually purchased for myself for us to try. But yeah, while we're on the topic, What is your favorite bourbon that you've tried yet?
My hands down favorite is the Stag Junior, which is just called now just called Stag.
No, are they in batches? Do they have batch numbers?
I don't think.
Okay, so it's not a release every year.
Well, it is a release every year, but I don't think they highlight the batches like they do with the Bookers and stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
It's more like if you can get your hands on it for a decent price, get it. I mean, that one's like 132 proof, I think.
Yeah.
So it's up there, but it doesn't drink like that to me. I love it with cheesecake.
You did tell me that. Dude, I remember. I've never tried it with cheesecake.
I am a sucker for bourbon and cheesecake. It is so good.
Mine is coffee.
Okay.
Bourbon and coffee. I don't know why. I like it with my coffee. Not in the mornings.
Not together, but just, do you do them together?
Yeah. So, like, instead of having a water nearby, right. I like to have just black coffee.
Well, I'm saying, like, do you ever put your bourbon in your coffee?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Some days I feel like I need to work in here. I do not.
I get it.
So, all right. So that's your top. The
one that got me into bourbon.
Yeah.
Like I had probably three or four bottles, and I was like thinking I was something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got that Knob Creek 9, the single barrel? The
single
black
barrel.
Label?
Yeah. Those are good. Those were good bottles.
That 120 proof. And then when I drank that for the first time, I was like, okay, now I understand bourbon.
Yeah.
That was the one that got me kind of like, okay, this is what I'm searching for. This set tastes good. I enjoy it. It's not killing me as it's going down my my throat, you know. But that was the one that got me into it. But then I ended up getting lucky and getting that bottle of Stag, and that was the one that.
Is that the one that you had to go stand in line for?
Yeah.
You did?
I had to play a bunch of stupid adult games to get it. But
I refuse to do that. That's the only reason I don't own any of those, is because I refuse to go do ring tosses and trivia and stand in line for hours and hours and hours on end.
You feel like a moron. I mean, they're literally waving all these special bottles in front of your face, and they're like, hey, if you spend more money, you got better odds. And I'm like, here's my wallet.
Y'all can have it. What's your everyday, like, if you just had something at home, what's your go-to?
I really enjoy just the plain Weller's Special Reserve, which we can get here pretty...
The green label.
Pretty easily we can get that here. The Eagle Rare is another great bottle that we get Eagle here Rares, okay. that a lot of people, other people are not able to get in other states very easily or at a great price.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some dudes paying like $100 for that bottle.
We got it for like $32.
Dude,
here.
It's like 35 bucks at the one right by my house. So
yeah,
I'm trying to get off this Buffalo Trace thing, though. I'm trying to think of something outside. That Baker's 7, or yeah, Baker's 7.
Baker's 7, yeah.
That was amazing. That was probably the second bottle that I was like, oh my gosh, that is awesome.
It was a good bottle, yeah. We tried that one together here at shop.
We did. That was one of our first ones that we tried.
Yeah, it was good.
Ooh, well, no, I wouldn't consider that. My antique 107's about dry.
Didn't you just get that?
I mean, I've had it for a few months.
Okay, well, I've heard it's good. I've never tried it.
It's pretty good.
I'm not a huge Weller fan. It's okay.
Oh, affordability-wise?
Yeah.
Another great bottle? The Evan Williams Bottled and Bond?
Yes, you turned me on to that, and I went and tried it, and I actually really like it.
Dude, that's about the best price-pointed bottle of bourbon. And have a great taste and flavor and all that stuff to it.
Is this, what, like 18, 19 bucks, something like that? 20 bucks?
It might be 20.
20, okay. I don't remember it being very expensive.
That's a hard one to pass up.
Yeah.
Even to this day, when I go to the liquor store and I see it, I'm like, ooh. I liked it a lot better than the, what's that newer one that came out that I bought? That was the handle. It wasn't the little...
Oh, the new Jim Beam 7.
Jim Beam 7, yeah.
Yeah, the 7 that one's, out of all the Jim Beam products I have tried besides this, that has been my favorite.
Yeah. It's a good one, but it's... I'd rather have that Evan Williams than that.
I'm kind of opposite. I would actually rather have Jim Beam 7. I think it is the most un-Jim Beam product that they make. I don't get that Jim Beam peanut buttery type flavor from it. And I actually really enjoy it. I swear, we're going to talk about boats at some point, but we're going to get through this.
Man, we only 8 minutes in.
Only 8 minutes in.
All the guys that don't drink bourbon are like, okay, shut up.
Yeah, you can just fast forward if you don't like it.
Subtopic for tonight before we get on to it is going to be electrical, I think, right?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we're going to cover some electrical stuff that we get a lot of questions about. And it is came up because I was actually going through YouTube comments the other night, and I saw that there was a like large majority of questions aimed at electrical issues.
Yes.
Not knowing what to do, certain install things, a lot of questions about lithium batteries. A lot of questions about switch panels, wiring, and circuit breakers, and all that kind of stuff. So we'll go over all that.
But in the meantime, though, aside from drinking bourbon, what have you been doing?
Working on my boat.
Well,
slowly,
you've been getting a lot of fishing. Well, we both have, but
yeah,
I'd say it's a little more common for me to do it than to you because I'm in the tournaments. But this is probably the first year where we've even gotten to go out and fish and.
Yep.
Spend time in our own boats, and
we've just been so busy. So busy. We've had a million things going on here at the shop, and we just new products coming out, new stuff here in the warehouse, and it's kept us real busy. But yeah, I have actually gotten out. I think I've been fishing maybe almost 10 times this year already.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah. Which I don't fish in the wintertime. I only fish in the summertime. I don't do good in the cold. So
yeah.
The catfishing's been good though this year. It's been good.
But yeah, and then I've been doing a lot of tournaments. I've been in two trails.
So all right, so you're doing the electric fishing series.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you're also doing what? The Slay Nation. Okay. How did y'all season is over for the electric fishing series, right?
No, we actually have technically yes. We have the open which is coming up this weekend, which I'll be at.
For those who are not tournament people like me, what does an open mean?
An open is basically a free-for-all tournament. So you don't have to pay the membership fee for the trail for the year. It's a way for the trail to try to bring in or attract new people to come fish in the tournament trail next year.
So you don't even have to sign up as a member or anything. You can just show up and fish this no matter what.
Show up and fish, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool. And where is that going to be at?
Varner.
Lake
Varner.
Y'all could have picked a bigger lake.
Well,
I think they do the open at a bigger lake.
I think they gave us like 3 or 4 options to choose from.
And that's the one that everybody chose?
None of them were real great. One of them was the first lake that they're going to be at for the Classic.
Oh, okay.
And so people were not too happy about that.
Because y'all got the Classic coming up in September?
September 21st and 22nd, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So that's when Anthony's going to be giving away the boat.
Yeah, we got to see that the other day. It's looking kind of nice.
Yeah.
But your Slay Nation tournament is still, is that an all-year thing, or does it have a season?
Yeah, that one's going on till, I think, late October.
Okay, well, you got a while then.
And then I'm probably going to do the Cold Water tournament trail this year, which is like a winter.
When does it start?
I think September. Last week of September or something.
Okay, well, we got to remember before it gets, like, super, super cold and I can't go outside anymore, we got to get with Kyle from ATX Lures and go. He's going to teach us how to crappie fish. Because if y'all watched this on YouTube, we tried to go crappie fishing for the first time last year by ourselves with very little knowledge, and we got a big old goose egg.
And frostbite.
And frostbite. It was very cold, and we didn't do anything, which was crazy because we had people coming in the store talking about some of the electric reservoirs around here where they were just catching 100-plus fish a day. They were like, you could drop a piece of bubble gum in there and catch 25 crappie. And I'm like, okay, we got to go try this. We didn't do good.
No.
But yeah. We got to do that. And we have – this is – I think this is all new. We didn't really show any of the store much when we were doing the podcast. I think it's probably been almost a year since we did a podcast.
That and the podcast always had the backdrop.
Yeah, we usually have a backdrop. But, yeah, we got the store as a backdrop today. We do have a nice little lure selection now. We've got all the crappie jigs and plastics and stuff from ATX Lures. We have brought in – what's all the bass fishing stuff? We've got the Woods Creek lures, custom airbrush painted lures, and they're all hard baits like crankbaits and glide baits. And what are the double jointed ones called?
Well, I mean, those are more of like a glide bait type.
Glide bait, situation. Okay. And then we've got all the spot chokers. We've got every single spot choker that is made on the planet. We have all the spot chokers.
Which, speaking of, he just came out with a new one, which we have here.
The night one?
The night one.
The night, okay, yeah. I saw that the other day. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to take a couple.
From here? Oh, my God. Okay.
I got a night tournament, man.
And then we've got some new shaky heads.
Yes.
From Flippin' Fish?
Flippin' Fish. He's a great kid up in Tennessee. We met him at the NOE Expo as
well. We did, yep.
And I'd say he's probably 21 to 23, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Just really good kid. He's actually building himself a tiny boat, too.
Really? What's he building?
It's a 1448, I believe. Oh, center nice. Console.
We'll have to have him come down to a podcast with us sometime.
He'd be a good one, too.
So then we've also brought in some catfishing stuff. We've got Anvil catfishing rods. We've got some heavies and medium heavies. And then we've also got some stuff from Carolina Lightweights for any of the catfishing guys. We can carry a few little of their products. I know catfishing's not as big around here as I would like it to be, but we do have some of their products for the people that are interested in that. So, yeah, if you're in the Georgia area or you're going to be passing through Georgia and you want to come by and see the store, we are here Monday through Friday, 9-ish to 5-ish-ish.
It varies. Just call.
It really varies. We're here. Call us ahead of time. But, yeah, we started carrying a lot of baits because we got all these local reservoirs that are close to us, and people swing by periodically and grab stuff. But you know, we got a pretty good selection. So, So your boat build is finally finished. I don't think we were done with it when we did our last podcast.
No, we weren't, because one of our last episodes was Georgia Bassmaster's boat.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in, like, November-ish last year.
Yep, and we weren't even done with you. We didn't finish yours till what, January?
January 11th.
So you've had it for a while now. How do you feel about it?
I absolutely love it. I just, the only thing I don't like about the boat is that front hatch is too wide.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's only because you can't put rods up on the front deck without, you can't open the lid with rods on the front deck.
The rods start getting a little crazy in the middle of the day. But aside from that, I love it. It's simple.
It's held up pretty good. It's taken a beating.
It has. I've been testing it. That's for sure. A few different motors, a few different props, few different
dings and dents on it.
On both motors, live scope seems to be working pretty good. Haven't had any electrical issues out of it. We actually dropped.
That's because I wired it. Duh.
We actually dropped the 12-100. Which this is probably going to roll into the rest of our conversation.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and start in on it. But so you started out with a 12-volt, 100-amp-hour battery.
Lithium battery that powered everything in the boat.
Except your trolling motor.
Except trolling motor.
Your trolling motor is a 24-volt, and you had a dedicated 24-volt battery just for it.
Correct.
All right, so you started out the season with the 12-100.
Mm-hmm.
What was your average, like, so your average tournaments are, what, 8 to 10 hours?
They're all 8 hours.
8 hours. And you were coming back with how much battery life left?
I'd have to double check on that one.
I remember one specific one that you came back and showed me a screenshot of the Powerhouse app, and you were like, dude, I got 76% left on my battery.
It could have been that one.
Yeah, I specifically remember that one.
Because then we dropped it down to a 1260.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming back with, I'd say, 30% now, which is still enough.
Yeah.
But...
And you're running your live well most of the day.
Yeah.
You're running lights in the morning to lights and from your spot. What else are you running in that boat? You haven't really needed your bilge pump, have you?
I mean, well, we're pulling 16 volts off of it, too.
That's true.
For the grass.
We've got an up converter on that.
I mean, really, the only thing running all day or getting power off of that would be the thermometer for the live well.
That pulls very little power.
The pump.
But it is,
that's it.
It is pulling power, though.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think of what else you've got. I don't think you've got anything else on your 12 volt. Now your 24.
I mean, dude, I've even used those big spotlights in the morning.
Yeah, those things do pull some
power. Had those on for 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Three of them. Actually, five of them, because I turned the back ones on too when we're backing down the ramp.
That's right. I forgot you got those flush mount flashlights in the back. Those things are awesome, by the way.
Dude, people that are already in the water hate them. But. If you're the dude driving the truck backing it in,
makes it
they're
nice,
amazing.
So when we did that on your boat and I saw how good it worked out, and then you came back and was like, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I actually went and put reverse lights on my trailer for my boat. And hands down, one of the best mods I've ever done. Because I fish mostly at night for catfish because it's hot as crap during the day.
Yeah.
But I put those trailer lights on the back, just some cheap Harbor Freight ones, and I cannot believe how much easier my life is backing that trailer up at night now.
Well, your life and everyone else's, because guess what's more embarrassing than not catching fish at a tournament?
Not being able to back down a boat
ramp. Not being able to back down and get your boat on the trailer. So you're not that guy anymore. Just get a couple lights.
So with your 24-volt battery, do you know about how much you're pulling in a day's time? On that, running your spot lock and do you do a lot of waypoints and stuff like that? Or are you mostly just spot locking and moving from spot to spot?
No, I mean, I don't really have waypoints. I have spots that I know of that I go to, but I wouldn't say we use waypoints. I am on the motor a lot because the live scope transducers is on the motor, on the shaft.
So you actually are moving the live scope side to side?
Yeah. It really depends on the wind, but I'd say I'm still coming back with... I know I'm coming back with more power in that battery than I am with the 1260.
So you're over 30%.
Oh, yeah. It's probably closer to 50-ish.
Wow. That's good for a 24.
And that motor's not brushless. It's a brush motor.
Yeah, that's one of the you got an Ultrex? Mm-hmm. Ultrex, just a regular Ultrex, the cheapest one they make.
24 volt, no transducer in it.
Yep.
It's pretty bare bones, but it is a, I freaking love that motor.
It's nice. I'm running the auto boat. I finally got my first motor with a remote and GPS. I'm loving it. So I'll tie that into one of the questions that I have gotten at the shop a lot with phone calls. If people call and ask about sizing of lithium batteries, and I know why they do it, because it's a sticker shock.
Well, I don't get those questions. I get the guys that call me and they want the biggest battery in the voltage that they need.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever, just in case.
Just in case. It's hard to get people out of the mindset of the runtime on a lithium versus the runtime on a lead acid battery. The big thing that you have to remember is that a lead acid battery starts out at its highest voltage of the day when it's fully charged at the beginning of the day. Yep. It can be anywhere from 13.1 volts all the way up to 14.2 volts, just depending on how new the battery is and how many charges it's had on it, blah, 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 blah. As the day goes on, the voltage of that battery drops off.
Mm-hmm.
And as the voltage drops, you have to use more power to continue doing the same thing that you were doing before. So it actually makes the battery die faster.
Like your speed 7 on your trolling motor, is now what would have been your speed 5 at a fully charged battery.
In theory, it's not that simple, but in theory, yes. Traditionally, like on my boat, when I ran a 45-pound thrust trolling motor, I had a 122 amp hour lead acid battery. I could maybe get one fishing trip out of that, and I don't use a trolling motor nowhere near as much as you guys do.
No.
I do use it to move from spot to spot in the river when I don't want to crank up the big motor and run around. And when it's really, really late at night when I'm coming into the boat ramp, I usually turn the motor off and I will troll the motor in the rest of the way so I'm not waking up everybody and their mama with my loud mud motor. But I could usually get one trip out of a 122 amp hour lead acid battery. The other key thing you have to remember with lead acid battery is that you only get the use of half of the amp hours that is stated on the battery. So I had a 122 amp hour battery. It's only safe to use about 50% of the capacity of that battery. Once you go below 50% of the capacity, you start damaging the cells in the battery and it's severely reducing the life of a lead acid battery. So out of that 122 amp hours, I was really only using 61 amp hours. So when I switched to lithiums this year, which I did, we're going to have a video on that at some point. I bought the cheapest lithiums you can buy on Amazon. I went to a 100 amp hour battery. I'm getting like 4 to 5 trips out of one charge. And the difference with lithium versus the lead acid is lithium keeps the same voltage all the time. If it's, you know, if your nominal voltage on your lithium battery is 13.1 volts, it is going to stay right at 13.1 the entire time until it is dead. Once it is dead, it goes bloop, and then the BMS cuts it off so that you don't damage the battery cells.
Yep.
We get a lot of people asking, for 24 and 36 volt trolling motors, do I need to run multiple 60 amp hour batteries? Because that's the biggest ones that most people make nowadays. Mm-hmm. I think ProGuide's got a 72 amp hour. But what I'm seeing in a lot of the bigger boats is they're actually running two smaller batteries so that they have a backup in case anything ever happens. So 240s. 230s to something like that, because you're really not needing that much power throughout the day, or you don't need that much capacity, I should say.
Right.
And it's better to have a backup battery than it is to have one big giant battery, especially with lithiums, because there is no, like with lead acid batteries, you get a cell that goes down, you're still going to have power. You may only have 11.9 volts of power, but you're still going to have power.
Right.
With a lithium battery, if a cell goes out, the BMS, the computer inside the battery, just cuts it off.
It's done.
It's done. It's not going to turn back on for the rest of the day. You're screwed.
Which is why your warranty is important.
Yes, warranties are very important. So check. We'll talk more about that, that later. But so the question is, what size lithium battery should I get for my whatever?
To go back into the how we swapped my 12-100 out of my boat for the 12-60.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that 12-1 or that 12-60 that we ended up replacing the 12-100 with was actually in another boat.
Yes.
And he was running 3 12 to 16 inch screens with live scope and all that, and that 1260 would not handle three of those screens.
Yes, with a live scope.
But that 1260 is able to power my entire boat. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the point that I'm trying to make. Like, how is it? It's very hard to gauge sometimes. Yes. And I get tripped up on it even when people call us and they're like, hey, what size do I need? I'm like, shoot, man. There's so many factors. I don't really know what to tell you, but
graphs do pull a lot of power. I don't like to try to push people into getting a 16-volt battery, but I do recommend people, if you're going to run multiple graphs, anything bigger than, I would say, a 9, which it seems small these days. Everybody's going 12, 16s, 15s, and 20s and everything else.
Yep.
You're going to be running two graphs bigger than 9 inches. I would recommend you get a dedicated battery for your graphs, especially if you are running live scope or any kind of, we'll call them forward facing sonars.
I mean, even those rear transducers now are.
With side imaging, down imaging, or and, clear view, well, I guess, or whatever.
Here's something that I've never really thought about. What if you're running your screen on multiple imagery, right? Like, you know, you could do a split screen.
Yes.
Or you do three.
Yeah.
Three in one screen.
Mm-hmm.
Are you pulling more at that point too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you can actually watch it. You can pull it up on, like, you know, you run a Powerhouse battery, you can get on Powerhouse app, run just your traditional 2D sonar,
right,
and see how many amps that unit is pulling.
Right.
It may only be, you know, a half an amp. But then you turn on 2D sonar, side scan, down scan, and you got your forward facing sonar on the front of the boat, plus the maps running in the background, and all of a sudden that one unit's pulling 5 amps.
Yep.
Or I very rarely see them pulling 5 unless it's a really big screen. Most of your 12 inch and under are going to pull somewhere around 3.
Mm-hmm.
But you got 2 of them, or 3 of them, or 5 of them, like some people do.
Yeah.
Plus you got the black box for your forward facing sonar and your forward facing sonar actual transducer. All stuff starts to add up really quick. And then you got a radio playing in the background, and you got lights on your boat, and the live well pump running all day long, and a bilge pump here and there.
Going.
Yep.
A light you forgot to turn off, like your navigation lights or something like that.
So in that case, when I talk to people and I hear, you know, that's one of the first questions I ask is, how many graphs are you going to run? Are you going to run forward-facing sonar? How many transducers are you going to run? Are you going to run on the trolling motor and one off the back of the boat?
Right.
Yada, yada, yada. I usually say you can get away with a small, like 30 amp hour battery on your boat for a house battery.
Yeah.
As long as you don't require it to be a cranking battery too.
Right.
But if you're going to go crazy graphs, 2 or 3 of them, you need to get a dedicated battery for your graphs. The other thing to remember with that is if you have everything on one battery, like I was saying earlier with the redundancy, you know, you're not paying attention and you got a smaller battery and you've been running your graphs all day long and you kill your battery, you're done.
Yeah.
If you have a second battery that all your graphs are on, and then the rest of your boat has a house battery, you never have to worry about your house battery being dead because you've always got your graphs, which is the thing that's going to pull the most power, right, running off of its own battery. If your graphs go out, you're most of y'all would be crippled and not know how to fish anymore. But
no, I know where the boat ramp's at.
You know where the boat ramp's at. So what's another one that you get a lot?
The one thing that I always keep in mind that I feel like is very imperative, specifically for the guys looking for a lithium battery for their electric outboard, is can I get any 48-volt battery and connect it to my 48-volt electric outboard and it will run and power it?
Kind of, depending on the outboard.
It'll run it. It'll power it. But what do you really need to look for in that battery for it to operate that motor to its max or best capacity?
The first thing you need to know is what is the maximum amperage that your boat or your electric outboard pulls. So, like, for instance, a Navy 6 from ePropulsions, one we sell, I'm intimately familiar with it, whether I want to be or not. It pulls 125 amps at max power. That's at 6,000 watts.
Mm-hmm.
When you go searching for batteries, you got to remember the most important thing is that 125 amps. It has to be able, that battery has to be able to handle 125 amps continuous power. Mm. When we say continuous power, you're going to see that advertised as RMS. I was going to say RMS amperage sometimes. Sometimes it will say continuous draw or continuous power or continuous usage. But it's got to be able to handle at least that much.
Right.
Now, if you find a battery that says it can handle 125 amps, but that's its max, you have to remember you're running at the maximum capacity of that battery all the time.
Yeah.
So you're going to reduce the life of the battery. Mm-hmm. And two, you really, really, really run the risk of possibly having a computer issue, which we call the BMS, the battery management system. We recommend that people go well beyond what the capacity of or what the capability of your motor is. So like say that 125 amps for a Navy 6, I would be running the 173 amp hour powerhouse because it can handle 250 amps continuous and 500 amps for about 30 seconds.
Right.
Same thing with the high power batteries. The high power batteries can handle 200 amps or more depending on which size it is, and they can handle bursts of 500 amps for, you know, 25, 30 seconds. Well above that 125. Now, you're going on a smaller motor like the Navy 3 that only pulls 80 amps. Most of your batteries can handle at least 100, but 80 is really close to 100, and I wouldn't want to be on a battery that its max is 100 all the time with the Navy 3.
Yeah, because, you know, that was the one thing that stood out to me when everyone was asking me about these Epoch 48 volts. You know, you can do, for the Navy 3, you could do one 48 volt 100 amp hour, but if you end up running that Navy 6.0, you're going to need two of the 48 volt 50 amp hours,
or the hundreds if you want to spend that,
or the hundreds. Yeah, and but either way,
the limiting factor on those batteries is the amount of current that they can handle continuously.
Correct.
And with the Navy, you can run about 90% of your total current on those Epic batteries. Okay. Which is not necessarily a bad thing,
right.
on a lot of these batteries, because, like, for instance, and you know this firsthand, on a Navy 6, your full speed is not always at full throttle. Your max speed sometimes is 1,000 watts less, 1,500 watts less.
This is true.
Because they're built for lower RPMs. Now, you go to something like the Stealth Switch, which you've been testing out. It's a high RPM motor. You do need to run full throttle all the time, so it's much more important that you're not bouncing that RMS line. You don't want to be right on that. Like, if that thing's pulling 200 amps, you don't want a battery that can only handle 200 amps. You want something that can handle more than that. It's just something you got to watch out for with these Amazon batteries, because 48 volt Amazon batteries are starting to become a very, very popular thing. And we've had a lot of customers that have already started buying e-propulsion motors, and then they bought an Amazon battery and found out very quickly either their warranty sucked, they had bad sales, or that it couldn't handle the amperage.
I love asking somebody, what battery are you running? And they're like, I'm like,
they don't want to tell you.
This is going to be a long conversation.
Now, the follow-up question to that usually with customers is, what's my runtime going to be?
Yeah.
Now, all right, so you've been running the 173, the 173 amp hour battery from Powerhouse, and you're running a Navy 6 now.
Yep.
What's your runtime been like?
I don't worry about anything.
You're good.
I don't check it. I don't look at, the only time I check the app on the 173 is right when I get home. I don't check it out on the water, and I do not. I run full throttle everywhere.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't care what I'm doing. I don't care if I'm putting it on the trailer. Like I'm full throttling up onto the trailer, even. You know, I don't hold back on it. So, yeah,
which is exactly what I tell people not to do. So I'm glad you're testing that out. Thank you.
We do a lot of things we're not supposed to do, but
now, all right. So I'll tell my story about the Spirit in a second. But what is your typical, like, when you come home? Yeah. Are you sitting at 50%? Are you sitting at 20%?
Most of the time, it's higher than 50%.
That's a lot, because you're running around for 8 hours, spot to spot to spot.
Right. And had we not wired the boat the way that we already did, I would 100% be putting in one of those, our step-down converters in there. Because I could run my entire boat plus that outboard off of that 173.
Yeah.
You which we, When we've done that for a few customers already.
Yep, we did it in Joe's boat.
We haven't heard anything back from them.
No, because it works.
Which, by the way, I'm not saying that in a mean way. That's good.
Yeah, if we have problems, people call us about it.
Yes. So.
And that was one of the reasons that we designed the step-down converter that we came up with is because we're running less and less 12-volt accessories in our boats and more, you know, like you're on the graph side of things. You're pushing more of the 16-volt and even the 28-volt to your black box.
And even the lights you can buy now for your boat, or you can get them in a 24-volt option.
Yeah. All right, so that brings up a really good point. I'm actually going to do a YouTube video on this coming up, but there are more and more accessories coming out for boats these days that are 12 to 24 volts. So you can run them on either one. Mm-hmm. And if you're running, if you're already running a 24-volt trolling motor, it makes sense to have a very, very small 12-volt battery for the accessories that you need, which is going to be bilge pumps. I don't see a lot of bilge pumps in 24-volt. Most of them are in 12. There are some out there, but they're big and they're expensive. But for the smaller stuff like what we do, 1,000-gallon per hour, 1,200-gallon per hour, stuff like that, you're going to need to stick to 12-volt.
Yeah.
I don't see as many nav lights, like your traditional, you got a base with a pole that plugs in. Now, you got the LED light strips and some of the newer, the rear poles.
Those real serious...
like the maxed out LEDs and stuff like that.
What was that other one at the show?
The one that's like 50 foot tall.
Firefly.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. But some of those are running on 24 volts. So you can actually take a lot of your 12 volt stuff and convert it over to 24 volt. But here's another thing. And I don't know why. This may just be me being an electrical nerd because I know a lot about it. But you could almost do the same thing with the lithium batteries that we've done with the 48 down to 12. You could almost do that with your boat and have a big 24 volt battery bank and run a 24 to 12 volt converter. Right. They do make those. And that was it. We've had a couple people call and ask if we were going to make a converter to do 24 or 36 volt.
I don't think it's worth it right now.
Right now, no, because those things are, I'll be honest with you, those things are a pain in the butt to make.
But like at 48 volt stepping down, like, we would have saved, what, $1,000?
Originally, because you had that 100-amp-hour battery.
If we had put the 48 to 12-volt step down in my boat, we would have saved $1,000.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you add in the cost of the converter, you're looking at,
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a $1,200 battery.
No, it was only $1,000. The 100-amp-hour. No. The 100-amp-hour is $800. $1,200. No. You're thinking of the 36-volt. The 36-volt's $1,200.
Okay.
Anyways, it's still a significant amount of money that you could save doing conversions like that. And we did that on your boat. We were initially going to put a 16-volt battery in there. But as a tester, I wanted to see how a 16-volt converter would work. So we actually upped your 12-volt battery from 12 volts to 16 volts just to run your graphs. And then we have a separate converter that runs from your 24-volt battery that up converts to 28 volts, and that goes to your black box.
Correct.
Garmin,
by the way.
Yes, Garmin.
Not Lowrance.
You cannot do that with Lowrance. Lowrance has a 17-volt cap on it, so we actually sell a voltage regulator for Lowrance graphs and stuff like this. And it's more important if you're running. We don't do this a whole lot because we don't do the run-and-gun chargers. Most of our outboards can't put out that many amps. Yeah. But like if you're running a bigger bass boat with, a 150 or a 200 on it that can put out 40 amps and run a run-and-gun charger, those are the ones you have to be careful for because it can output more than that 17 volts and you can blow a Lowrance head unit.
Yeah.
So it's very important that you run a voltage regulator on those. But your Hummingbirds and your Garmins, they can handle 16, 17, 18 volts all day long, no problem. And then on your black box, you run the 28 volt, which we've had a couple people that we've installed it for, and it's not like mind-blowing, huge difference in the world. But they did notice that they can see further with their live scopes.
Mm-hmm.
They can see clearer, and they're able to pick up on things that they weren't able to pick up on before. So an image that at, 50 feet away that may have been blurry before is now not crystal clear, but, I can tell what kind of fish that is, or I can tell that that's a tree instead of a blob.
Correct.
So that's another thing.
My unit is also a lot more sensitive around other forward-facing sonar units.
Really?
So Patrick can be 120 yards away from me on the same body of water, and I'm picking up his beam. Like, on my screen, I can see his wavelengths coming off of his transducer. Yeah.
Well, we've had quite a few customers come in here and talk to us about it. The fish are definitely starting to pick up on
Yeah, the fish know.
They can, they can feel it or hear it.
Do you know how many live scopes are pinging throughout the water all day long? They might just be used to it by now. I don't know.
In some places.
Poor fish, dude. You're just getting bombarded with that.
Well, back to what you're saying about running full throttle all the time.
Yeah.
So I recently, just in the last couple of fishing trips, took my mud motor off of my boat because I'm in the process of building a new one.
And you like electric. You're vocal for Kamala this year, right?
I'm thinking about it. Okay. Old Kamala. Old Kamala. No, I put the Spirit on my boat just to play around with it and test it out. I mean, I handle all the warranty stuff, so that's like I probably should take it out every now and then and just get familiar with it because I even forget what the buttons and stuff look like. So I've been playing around with it for the last couple of weeks, and I have really paid attention to doing what I tell customers to do, which is figure out what your max speed is on a GPS, like on your cell phone. So like on my boat, my max speed is 4.8 miles an hour. Right. That is as fast as that boat is going to go with that Spirit. And it's wide open, 4.8.
Which is on the low end.
Yes. My boat is also way, way, way too heavy.
Half steel.
Yes, half steel. It is half steel. So I started dialing the wattage back, you know, basically just turning the throttle back until I could maintain that exact same speed. And I have figured out that 780 watts will maintain that 4.8.
Right.
At 700 watts, I can do like 4.6, 4.7, just depending on the wind and which way I'm going.
Right.
And even all the way down to 600 watts, I'm still over that like 3.9, right at 4. So I'm basically adding more than a quarter of my battery life back just by dialing it back a little bit.
Right.
But I only have that little bitty Spirit battery. Now, the first trip I went out on, I took it really easy. Like, I was watching it. I didn't go as far as I really wanted to, but I didn't want to push it because I was, you know, I knew I was limited on battery space.
Right.
Or on battery capacity. And I was really shocked. I did about 5 miles round trip up and down the river, and I came back and I still had like 70-something percent of the battery left. And I was like, holy crap.
That Spirit does a lot better than what you initially think it's going to do.
Yeah, that's true. So the next two times I took it out, I wasn't as – I pretty much ran it wide open the next two trips just to see what it would do. And I was still coming back with like 30% of the battery. I think one trip I had like 41% left when I got back. And I ran pretty much everywhere I wanted to go, you know, within a reasonable distance. You know, I wasn't going to make no 20-mile trek up the river like I normally do. But it's an impressive little motor for what it is, especially on my heavy boat.
Well, that, and then, you know, you put that up against the larger models, and then you start talking about price, and, I mean, that Spirit is still the best bang for the buck.
Yes, it is.
That is your best affordable, high-performance option, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it doesn't seem to matter what boat we put that on. 4.5 is the slowest I've heard that thing going at full throttle.
Yeah.
Typically.
It probably moves 40-foot sailboats faster than my boat.
Yeah. It probably really seriously does. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter what we put it on. We're getting around that 5 to 6 mile an hour range.
Yeah. Yeah. On that little Sun Dolphin that we got, I think it does almost 6 on
it. Did you ever hit it at full throttle and then walk to the front of your boat and see what the speed was?
No, I haven't done that.
You need to try that.
I probably should.
I would be interested to know if that goes up or not.
I'm going to go fishing this weekend. I'll try
some. Okay.
But I'm looking forward to trying the other ones, too. Like, I want to try the Navy 3 and see, you know, kind of what it does. And then when we get the Stealth back on your boat, I'm going to take the Navy 6 and go play with it, too.
Yeah, that's fine. We need another battery, too.
Yeah, well, we're working on that. But another question that comes up a lot is switch panel wiring. I'm actually going to do a full-blown walkthrough YouTube video on this very soon.
I think we need to split this podcast up. and talk about that, like your actual interior boat wiring.
Okay.
Into another episode, because we kind of got off onto like electric outboards and lithium batteries thing.
Okay, yeah, we can keep it. Keep it. Well, since we're on the topic,
yeah.
Can you talk about the Stealth?
Yes, we can talk about it. It is a 48 volt, 96 volt split motor.
So you can run either voltage.
You run either voltage.
For people that don't know, if they make 48 volt batteries, but there's not a lot of 96 volt batteries out there. You got to run two 48 volt batteries in series. And you have to be very careful because not all 48-volt batteries are meant to be used in series.
Correct.
We found that out the hard way.
Yeah.
That's another story for another day. But if you do decide to look into a 96-volt outboard, because I have a feeling they are going to become more and more popular, increase seems to be going up in the electric outboard world.
Yeah. And then the other thing we need to keep in mind is, you know, I wanted something that, one, was comparable or in competition with or a little bit better than that e-propulsion Navy 6.0.
Mm-hmm.
And I had high hopes for this Stealth. I mean, we could get on a totally off-topic tangent on this, but after my testing at 48 volts, that Stealth was no better than that Navy 6.
But what did it do at 96, though?
It blew my mind.
All right, reference point. Your Navy 6 runs how fast full speed on your boat?
Navy 6 full speed with that 173 battery is just tapping below 9.
Okay.
That's with two people for full tournament load.
That's a lot of weight in the boat.
It's a lot of weight.
You're talking about 116-pound battery. You got a 2024 model Navy 6, right?
One of the newer ones.
I want to say it's like 83 pounds or something like that.
But, you know, and we're not even going to count the water in the live well, but there's two lithium batteries and then two full-grown men's tackle storage.
Y'all got a bunch of crap.
20 rods and...
Yeah, y'all got a bunch of stuff.
The cooler in the front. Heck, the trolling motor is 85 pounds alone.
Yeah.
So there's weight in the boat, and that's that Stealth switch was getting about the same speed as that Navy 6.0.
At 48 volts.
At 48 volts.
Okay. So then you swapped it over to 96.
96.
What kind of speeds were you getting?
We got 96 on the stock prop was 18.
That's impressive.
96 volts with the Piranha prop. 22.
Holy cow. That's booking it.
And that was fun.
I know you had a good time with that.
All 5 minutes of it was great. After 5 minutes, basically, I don't know yet what actually is happening, but something starts regulating. And it'll go from 22 miles an hour. You're cruising at 22, 21, 20. 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, and just slowly goes down until it's not even worth running anymore.
That's unfortunate, but I'm glad you brought that up. That is a thing that people need to remember about these high horsepower electric outboards. You can only run them so hard for so long before they build up enough heat that they start self-protecting by lowering their amp draw, which affects your speed.
It's just never going to be the same as gas.
Yeah.
At least not anytime soon.
Yep. And they're pulling some major amps. Yeah. I mean, at 96 volts, you were pulling, what, well over 200 amps?
225, because the BMS in that battery is a 250, right?
Yes.
So it was pulling 225 to 235, somewhere in there.
And that's only reading out of one battery. So you were pulling that across
two batteries. Yeah.
That's a lot of amperage.
Oh, dude, that wire was getting hot. But we're getting a little off topic here.
Okay, go ahead.
So, because the other thing we need to remember is there's a great chance that they're going to start restricting the horsepower ratings on these electric-only reservoirs.
Yes.
So,
well,
from that
it's already happening.
It
is not
happening.
Here. We did talk to a customer in Maryland. They limited it to 25 horsepower.
25?
25 horse.
And it was an actual horsepower rating.
It was an actual horsepower rating. And it was specific to electric-only lakes.
Well, and that's the other thing is we have this insight that they're going to, you know, regulate it to a voltage. So you can only run up to like a 48 volt or something like along those lines, right? And if that happens, we want to make sure that you're getting the money's worth out of your when you're buying that motor. So you have an option there. If they do regulate it, you're not SOL.
Yeah.
And have to go buy a new motor and then worry about trying to sell your motor that nobody else around you can even use.
That's true.
That is the plus to it. And then, you know, if you got another battery sitting somewhere, fine. Take two of them in your boat all the time.
Yeah.
Hook one up. And if that one does fail, you got
a second.
You got a second.
I have talked to two. I think it was two. One was in Missouri and the other one was in Ohio. And both of them had electric only lakes nearby. But they were not limited to horsepower. They were just limited to wake. There was no wake in the entire lake.
See, that's even worse.
Yep.
That's so, even worse.
Like, at that point, it's worth it to just buy a Spirit.
You get your trolling motor, dude. Not even a Spirit. You get your trolling motor.
Trolling motor and do that. Yeah. But when you got guys with bigger boats, we get a lot of people call about 20-foot pontoon boats, 24-foot pontoon boats, big catamaran-style boats. If you're limited on horsepower, it kind of makes sense to go with a smaller motor.
Yeah.
And spend less money.
Well, you know, the other problem with these electric motors, like, even if you do run a Spirit, you're getting a wake. Because it's plowing. The front of that boat is just digging into the water.
Yes, mine does bad.
That's all it does. I don't know. That's something to think about, but
it definitely is. The electric outboard game is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
We have a lot of new companies coming out. A lot of companies are making changes.
We got some new stuff coming out.
We do have some new stuff coming out. We're coming talking about
this should be a good year.
We got some stuff in the works. Know what I mean?
Jelly bean.
Yeah. Another one, since we're on the topic of electric outboards, we had a ton of people calling and asking about props. As of right now, nobody's making, you know, your Newports and your Elko. Well, the Elko can take a standard hub
here's,
type prop.
Here's the deal, guys.
And all those other ones. Nobody's making aftermarket props for them yet.
If you're running, I would even say up to the Navy 3.0. Anything lower than that Navy 3.0, don't worry about your prop.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to matter. We've done some testing. It can make a little bit of a difference, but honestly, I don't think it's going to be enough to
justify the cost. Yeah.
I really don't.
Even when we had the two, before they switched the Navy over to the 2024 model, which only has one prop, when the older ones, they had the high and the low pitch, we don't really see a whole lot of difference in speed with the two.
No, you don't.
It was, you get up on plane, or not on plane, but you get up to speed faster or slower.
Yeah.
And maybe like a 0.1, 0.2 mile an hour difference.
I'd say you got a little bit more than that, but it wasn't much more. And
nothing
around. The only time, because that's the weird thing, is if you put that Stealth at 48 volts, it don't matter what prop you put on it.
It's going to run what it runs.
It runs what it runs.
The 96 volt is when it made
at
the
96, you can see all types of different. I mean, I got 4 miles an hour difference changing the prop.
Yeah.
Was it
bigger prop diameter or more pitch?
This is what I never got the opportunity to test.
Because you blew the battery up.
Can I run further at 18 miles an hour before it starts limiting itself down?
More than likely, yes.
Well, yeah. That's what the math would tell you, right?
Yes.
So I never got to test that or how much longer it actually is because it seems to be about 5 minutes. I can do a 5-minute run, full throttle, 22 miles an hour, then it starts going down.
Yeah.
Which, realistically, at 22 miles an hour, I can't even make it to the back of hard labor before it starts limiting itself down.
Which is what, like?
I think it might be two, three miles back there.
Yeah. But you give the battery time to cool off. You give the motor time to cool off. You can get back in it and do that. But you're not going to go run from one end of Lanier to the other. Now, you wouldn't even have enough battery capacity to do that anyway, so it's kind of a moot point.
Well, on a lake like Lanier?
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
You'd have
Dude, to, that would take you You'd have to camp on the boat.
That or you'd need more batteries than the boat can handle.
True. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to put more than two big batteries in your boat.
I think that's also a sweet spot type situation as well. Good. Yeah.
Now, did you have to move the batteries around a little bit to kind
of... For 96, we had to put them in the middle of the boat.
To balance the weight out?
Well, no, just to get them to fit.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, if they would have went in the back, I think the next problem I would have had was water coming in through my bilge pump through hole fitting.
Yeah, we did put those kind of low.
Yeah.
There's a lot to think about when it comes to putting big outboard and big batteries and all that stuff in your boat. And we get a lot of people calling, like, I got a 1436 John boat. I want to put this, you know, Navy 6 on there. And I'm like, don't do it.
What was it? I think I had a dude call me today wanting to put a center console in his 1236. I'm like,
no.
You just not like the front of your boat? Or like, what's wrong with it? I mean, you're never going to be able to get up there.
No.
If you do that.
We've actually had a couple of customers, not sink a boat, but take on a whole bunch of water putting too big an electric outboard on there, mostly because the battery.
Yeah, weighed. That one guy didn't even get his off the trailer, I don't think.
Nope. Hole back in the boat filled up full of water.
Yeah, imagine backing your boat down the trailer and the back end don't start lifting off the trailer.
I've had that happen before.
Oh, gosh.
Because I left the drain plug out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that will definitely do it.
Anything else in the lithium battery world or electric outboards that you can think of?
Not that I can think of right now, but if you guys are watching this on YouTube and do have questions or we missed something, please, please, please let us know. We're trying to do better at reading the comments and looking at everything, which is really what inspired tonight's podcast.
Yes.
So keep that up for us if you guys can. We greatly appreciate it. And it's just going to help you. You know, you ain't got to wait to talk to us on the phone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please let us know.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So there's going to be some changes to stuff coming up soon where me and Ryan are going to start focusing more on the podcast and YouTube stuff. You've already gotten back into your YouTube channel a little bit.
No, I did, and then
it's
just, forget about it. Fire Ant Fishing is no more.
You put your boat build on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that up. So
let's say that. If you guys want to, you know, put, I guess, a name to a face as to what this podcast has really been about, then go check out that video so you can see what we did to my boat,
mm-hmm.
what I'm running. I showed all of this in that video, so you'll kind of understand. The only thing we haven't really made public yet is that stealth.
Yeah. But you've been doing some filming on it, though, right?
I have all the video. I have all the readings of the battery as the motor's going, everything. One, I don't feel like I've gotten a whole lot of testing out of it. Two, that motor, it didn't do what I was really hoping it would do.
At 48.
At 48, which was a super big letdown.
Like, yeah.
That was a bummer, dude.
But at 96, it's pretty awesome.
At 96, it's awesome, but then you're also in how much more money for another 48-volt battery?
It's a trade-off.
It's a massive trade-off because even the motor alone is still more, twice as much as that Navy.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to consider there, and there's a lot to unpack with that whole setup, which we will get to eventually.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have videos on it. So what we're doing is we're going to try to focus a lot more energy on the Tiny Boat Nation Outdoors channel, not only with just boat build content, but we're really taking the time to go through the comments and listening to some of the phone calls that we get here at the shop and emails and stuff to try to help people out. Like, I know first off, like, big thing now is I got some like installation type videos, mm-hmm. and like questions that we get all the time that it's just easier to make a video on than it is to try to explain to people over the phone, like the switch panel wiring.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that we're going to do full-blown video on. There's multiple ways to do it. There's pros and cons to each way, but we want to show everybody the different ways you can do it. You know, picking out lithium batteries, figuring out what your runtime is going to be. We've never done a buyer's guide type video for the e-propulsion products that we sell. And that's one that we're gonna cover in depth in a video.
That's actually a genius idea.
And that one came up from me and Mike and Nick talking about it and all the calls that we get. People just don't like, a lot of people just don't know a lot about electric outboards, and then they go start doing a little bit of research, and it just go,
yeah,
your brain explodes.
A lot of them just they're like, oh, I want to just go electric.
Yeah.
And that's all they know about it.
Yes.
And then their expectations of that motor are the same as a gas, which is yes. incorrect.
Yes.
It just leads to a lot of, it leads to you guys being very unsatisfied, or what would you say? I mean, it just doesn't hit your expectations because you didn't know what your expectations should have been from the get-go.
Yes. And a lot of the review videos don't paint the whole picture of correct. The electric outboard world. They show you the product, and they show you the highlights and the key features. But a lot of them don't tell you how to choose what for what boat,
yes.
or what your situation is, or what your fishing style is. And now that we've had, you know, a couple years under our belt of being in the electric outboard world, not only as a dealer, but using them mm-hmm. and servicing them and working on them, we've got a lot more of a, I would say, educated opinion
yep.
than we did when we first started. So like, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. I think we're going to wind up doing a whole video series on just boat wiring.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the key comments that I saw on YouTube that we got a lot of questions about. And even just like our basic products. We had a lot of people that call and they're like, I want to buy a wiring kit. I'm like, okay, what size trolling motor you're going to be running? Like, I don't know. Well, we got to figure out what size trolling motor you're going to run if you figure out what circuit breaker you need
yeah.
for your trolling motor. And people are like, well, why don't I need a circuit breaker? Why don't I just run a fuse? And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Yeah. Stuff like that. We're going to do some stuff on runtime with the lithium batteries. So we've had a lot of that's usually the first question is, I want to buy a lithium battery. How much is it? And how long is it going to last me?
Which might be the title of the video.
How long is it going to last?
So,
yeah. So we're going to focus in on stuff like that. And then we've also got some kits that we're going to be working on.
Yep.
Plastic
boats are making a massive comeback.
Yes, so we're going to be doing more with plastic boats. And it mostly because they're just not making aluminum boats like mm-hmm. they used to anymore.
And even if they do, they're still, from what I've been hearing, not super great.
I've seen multiple posts on Facebook of the new Tracker, the all-weld yeah. one with cracked welds in it.
Not the Grizzly, the topper.
Yeah, the topper. The Grizzly's still an awesome boat, by the way, if anybody's.
Yeah.
that's one of the better ones out there. But yeah, the Tracker toppers are, looks like their quality's really gone downhill. But we're gonna get more into that stuff. We're going to try to start doing the podcast more regularly. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a huge podcast following, but we know we had a lot of people that enjoyed it. And there are a lot of people like me that have a, you know, 30, 45 minute ride to work, or they sit in the car riding around in the afternoon picking yep. up kids and they want something to listen to. And there's just not a whole lot of boat stuff out there in the podcast world. So
yeah.
we're going to do that, and we're going to try to get some more guests and stuff in here, some different people to talk about different topics.
Yeah, if you guys have any guest suggestions or ideas.
Or any specific topics that you want us to discuss.
Yeah,
yeah.
We
either reach out to us, or if you're on YouTube, leave a comment in the YouTube video format of this. But I don't even know if I told you this, but you know Google Podcast is going away.
Really?
They're moving it over to YouTube. So like now on our YouTube page, there is actually a podcast section, and our RSS feed is going to be in there. So like YouTube Podcast is going to be an actual podcast platform, kind of like Spotify and Apple and there's another one. I don't know. But anyway, so YouTube is going to be the new podcast platform for Google. It's not going to be Google Podcast anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, that's we've been going for over an hour now, so.
So, in conclusion, rate this Booker's from a 1 to 10. We'll do a rating thing if we keep doing this boats and bourbon
boats
talk.
And bourbon. It is good. It is not your traditional beam profile. Mm-hmm. It's got a little bit of floral. It's very fruit forward to me. It's got a heavy oak. It does not drink like a 124.
No.
It actually drinks a little bit lower to me. It does have a heavy oak influence. It has a very long finish, but I still get just that hint of like a, almost like a peanuts and Coke, or in peanuts and some kind of something. I
see the peanuts, but
it's not that traditional Beam nuttiness that I normally get from other Beam products.
Right.
But this is the the first Booker's that I've tried that I actually really enjoy.
It's good.
Is it worth $99 though? If you've never tried one before and you can get it at MSRP, do it.
I didn't pay for it, so.
If it's more than MSRP, it
tastes real good to me.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
I'll, like, on a scale of, like, what, 1 to 10?
Yeah.
I'd say probably, like,
just give it a general, like
a 6.5.
Would you go back to it? Like, let's say you finish this bottle, and then you find one for MSRP again. Would you buy it again?
Maybe.
I wouldn't. Because I would want to try something else for another $100.
Yeah.
But it's not bad.
No, it's there's, I can't say anything negative about it.
No.
It's not my preferred proof range.
Right.
I know you like some of the little hotter stuff.
I do like the hotter stuff.
I do not. I'm a rare breed guy. 112 is.
You know what really ticked me off?
What?
I finally found that Weller 12.
Yeah.
You know it's 90 proof.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's lame.
Maybe we'll do that one next time.
Okay.
I'll bring the Weller 12 in.
Try it. We're gonna have Carl back from it's
Carl,
it's,
bring your freaking stash, bro. I heard you got a good stash.
We're gonna do one with Carl. I promised him that we would go up and do one of his podcasts. Okay. Carl is our friend that runs the we call it the NOE Expo. It's actually his last name is Noe.
Yeah.
But everybody calls it the NOE Expo. We're gonna be doing some stuff with him this year. We've become really good friends with him. He's a huge bourbon junkie. Like, I thought we had problems. That dude, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some serious collectoritis.
Man, I'm excited.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, we'll have him.
The 02 2024, 110.
I'd say 6.5.
On the Simmons scale.
6.5.
6.5?
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably going to give it an 8.
Really? You like it?
Simply because it's out of what I'm my norm. The BTAC lineup, right?
Yeah.
And for that, I give it a little bit higher because this is something that I like that's not from Buffalo Trace.
Okay. If you are on one of the podcast platforms, they have to rate it, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you have to rate it. I'm not asking. I'm telling you. You have to rate it. If you're on YouTube, definitely give us a thumbs up, follow, because we'll be doing more of these in the future.
And the channel this is on is our main video channel next. So subscribe to the channel too, because
yes,
we'll release these podcast videos there, but also all these videos that we're talking about that we're going to make are all going to be on that channel as well.
Yes. And then when we upload the podcast, they come out in a video form. But if you go to the podcast section of YouTube, especially if you have the YouTube Music app, you can actually listen to this in your car while you're driving without the video playing if you want to do that.
Okay.
You can just have to do that on the YouTube Music app. But thanks, everyone, for tuning in and sticking with us. I know we did a lot of rambling today. It's going to take us a little time to get back into the swing of this, but we'll get there eventually.
Yeah. We appreciate you guys watching this episode of the Drain Plug Podcast. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, please leave them in the comment section. And never forget your drain plug.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Nobody likes that guy.
Well, I mean, everyone's going to laugh at that guy, but
I've been that guy.
Thank you guys. And we'll see you next time.